Hey, it's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith-Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating, and just for the record, Jody is right. Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, High Up MAGA Guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.
MSW Media.
Spy Talk, a podcast at the intersection of intelligence, foreign policy, national security, and military operations.
Hi there, I'm Jeff Stein.
And I'm Michael Isikoff.
And this is Spy Talk. Well, another tumultuous week in the national security world. We got sort of like Keystone Cops going on in the Secretary of Defense's office. We got, it's like a big faculty fight, mass firings last week at the National Security Council. And now new stuff on China spying, and we have a special guest.
Indeed we do. The CIA's former chief mole hunter, Sue Miller, who's 39 years at the CIA, and somebody who is deep in the weeds on not only how we recruit spies overseas, but how we catch the spies that others recruit against us.
Not only that, she is very close to the issue of China spying because she was selected to start up, or stand up, as they say in government speak, the China Mission Center at CIA.
Right.
This came after tremendous losses in China.
Absolutely. Catastrophic. And it's a story that we're going to get into with Sue Miller, but I think that most people don't know in detail just how it is that the Chinese penetrated the CIA over 10 years ago and were able to track down, imprison, and assassinate as many as 30 U.S. spies inside the People's Republic of China. It dried up our knowledge of what's going on inside what is, you know, arguably our biggest long-term adversary. And Sue Miller was right in the middle of it. So I'm very eager to hear what she has to say about that.
Well, without further ado, let's bring Sue aboard. Sue Miller, welcome to Spy Talk. Me and my buddy Mike Isikoff are eager to talk to you about all kinds of intelligence things, but let me draw your attention to the front page story in the Washington Post today bemoaning the lack of Chinese spies, in which you are quoted. What's that all about? Why are we washing that linen on the front page of the Post?
Well, I don't know, but I was asked to. But bottom line is, over the years, we have lost a lot of Chinese spies because we have tried to target too many too fast. And what happens then is they get caught. We miss if you kind of blanket the world with, you know, stations going after Chinese spies and you judge them by numbers. That's what happens. You end up getting people that aren't that good, and we can't handle them that well. And when I say handle them, we cannot talk to them. I can handle that. But what I'm talking about is securely handle them so that the Chinese government doesn't find them.
Right. And so, and it was reported that we lost the Chinese spies because the Iranians figured out how to break into covert comms and told the Chinese about it.
That's true. And we've also had, there's a mix of it. So that is true. The Iranians told the Chinese, I think they might have also told the Russians. I can't remember the whole story, but I do believe that they told them about breaking into the covert communications, because what happened was we started to, first of all, we were running too many. around the world. And I'm talking about just in general. And secondly, we were handing out covert communications to a whole bunch of different people because we thought it was safer than meeting in person. And it isn't. It needs to be very exquisite. You need to use it for the one guy that is telling you something really important, and he lives in the Himalayas. You know, I mean, it's got to be something really, really important that you can't meet, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we did have an issue where we were handing out way too much, and it was all kind of the same. If the, let's say the Iranian thing had happened, but we had a good practice where every single system is a little bit different, it wouldn't have mattered.
Can I just pick up on that? Because there's been a lot of reporting over the years about what caused the loss of all of our spies in China. I think it was 18 to 20 killed and or imprisoned by the Chinese. There was a obvious investigations for years and a huge debate. I'm looking at a 2017 New York Times story. It says investigators were bitterly divided over the cause of the loss of these spies. Some were convinced that a mole within the CIA had betrayed the United States. Others believed the Chinese had hacked the covert system the CIA used to communicate. And there was a convicted spy, Chun Xing Li, convicted in 2019, sentenced to 19 years in prison, former CIA employee, in prison for providing national defense information to the Chinese. So which was it? Was it the Iranians? Was it a mole? Was Li the mole? Or was this more complicated?
It's complicated because there are, again, yes, there were some issues with COFCOM and things like that. So that's one piece. Yes, we had some spies. It wasn't just Jerry Lee. Remember the Ma brothers as well. And yes, we had some issues around the world. And this is going back a little bit further, where our tradecraft hadn't caught up with the technology that are in cities today. And so all of that combined over, say, a 10, 15 year period means that we have had some losses. Now, if we have a spy like inside the China Mission Center, inside the FBI or inside, you know, the Pentagon or something like that, that makes it worse because that's a human choosing that as opposed to the Chinese exploiting a weakness. And those are the people that kind of tick me off the most.
Turncoats,
right. On the other hand, we do need to really invest in everything from strengthening our power grids to our comm systems to our satellite comms, you know, the ones and zeros that bounce up and down, et cetera, because all of that you can suck out. And we and everybody else collect a whole lot of stuff. And it's like, I can't decrypt it now, but I might be able to in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so that stays with you. So it's a long way of saying that human is super important because it gives you the context behind a lot of the SIGINT, and it kind of helps you focus on what's really important. But the SIGINT helps the human because it also emphasize and give us additional information.
Let me just translate that for people who aren't familiar
for
with
me.
All these acronyms.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Meaning, you did acronyms.
You want to have a spy who can put a listening device in a Chinese computer. You know,
you do.
And then you get the signals intelligence, the SIGINT from that. So you need spies to put a drive in, a portable drive into a computer. Yeah. Let me jump forward and ask you about...
Can I just, before you do, Jeff, I just want to buttonhole the incident from the loss of the Chinese spies between 2010 and 2012. First of all, Jerry Lee, was he effectively the mole who was responsible for some of this?
We discovered as well the Ma brothers.
The mob brothers. They were FBI employees.
They were FBI employees. Yeah.
Right.
One was CIA. One worked for FBI. So they kind of had the whole. So you had the Ma brothers, and you also had Jerry Lee. There's been a couple of others over the years.
And then there was another guy, another CIA guy. Yeah. So it's hard to say.
I mean, I have to say, I'm fascinated by this because, you know, we've over the years heard so much about, you know, moles, Russian spies inside FBI, CIA, Aldrich Ames, obviously. But I, you know, this, the Chinese penetration of U.S. intelligence and law enforcement, if that's what it was, has not gotten nearly as much attention, I don't believe.
I don't think it has either. I also think that, you know, we discover different people around the world and all of that. I think that we're doing a decent job at trying to keep certain people out. My biggest fear with regard to Chinese espionage in the U.S., we're still letting all these PRC citizen students come into the U.S. And in one hand, they get to see what a democracy looks like, which is, you know, righteous work. But on the other hand, they are going and getting high tech degrees in a Stanford and a Berkeley and a Harvard, et cetera, to use against us.
Well, since time is precious, I have to jump and ask you, Susan, what about Trump? Trump is kicking them out.
Well, but wait a second, Jeff, we have news on this very front that has just broken this morning. Trump administration will aggressively revoke Chinese student visas in major escalation with Beijing. This is from Secretary Rubio announcing that the United States Department will target Chinese students, including those with connections to the Chinese Communist Party or studying critical fields, and revoke their visas. Is this the right move that you're talking about, Sue?
Yes. Yes.
You like
it? It is a very good, I like it. I really, really do. And it's been something that we and the FBI have been saying, we got to do this. What are we doing? And you can see them copying a whole lot of our products. Now they're going to indigenously make them. And they look a lot like Apple products, because all these students are coming in and working for Apple. Or
fighter planes or transport planes.
Yes. I swear at one point we found that Chinese citizens, and I don't mean all of them are spies, were working on some of our nuclear programs. I don't mean like with the codes or anything like that, but really, you know.
Let me ask you now about this Chinese, this pitch, this recruitment video that the CIA has put together to try to recruit Chinese spies. You know, one of the things you said got my attention in this Washington Post piece was that, you know, you don't want to recruit a lot of low-level people who put their lives on the line and are giving us marginal chance. We have moral responsibility, their ethical responsibility not to risk their lives. So what do you think about this video pitch that might, strikes me as sort of bottom feeding some visa clerk at the Chinese embassy in Tanzania, you know, reaches out to us, wants to spy, wants to get his family out of China, etc. Are we likely to get, you know, recruit any big time Chinese spies? What's the point of all this?
The point of all of this is to give people a way to contact us if they want to. And if they contact us and they have absolutely no good access to secrets, we're not going to put their lives in danger. We're just going to tell them, hey, why don't you go try to work for an American company if you want to become a citizen of America and, you know, go do something like that. We're not going to recruit people that aren't in a position or, you know, have a chance to be in a position where not just a chance, we're a logical chance to get in a position that we want them in. But we just don't do that. That was part of our problem when we were having all the problems with the Chinese spies. We were too careless in, we wanted numbers more than we wanted. It's not that we didn't want security. We couldn't handle the security of all of it. Of handling all of those. Yeah.
One last question for you about the Trump administration and CIA spying opportunities and so on. Closing down a lot of, or proposals to close down a lot of U.S. embassies and consulates in Africa. The general consensus is this is not going to be helpful to the CIA, because actually places where we tend to meet Chinese or North Koreans or whoever we want to recruit are off the beaten track in places like Africa and Latin America and so on, because you can't, you know, you can't do a lot of recruiting in Beijing.
No. And so the thing is that, yes, you're right. You close a bunch of embassies down, it definitely hurts CIA and hurts our programs and all. But it also hurts the president's power in those countries. Because you close these embassies down and you don't have that kind of interaction with the government, they're going to turn to China. They're going to turn to anybody who will talk to them or help them pay for a new road group. This is why I while AID is not my thing, I disagreed with the closing down of AID, because while they are absolutely not allowed to do anything for CIA or anything, but they do something for the president. That's how he gets access to different leaders in various countries, via his ambassador, and then maybe even him in a visit. And that's where you get the rare earth metals that you want and make sure you're first on the list and not Russia or somebody else. So that's just my preaching for a minute.
You know, one thing that really struck me in that Washington Post story is the problem in recruiting and having a human these days, especially in a country like China, is the mass surveillance and facial recognition. I mean, I was struck something like there are over 1 million CCTV cameras in Beijing alone. You know, they talk about how CIA officers now have to navigate an electronic gauntlet of surveillance and monitoring devices. You put that together with facial recognition technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, that this has got to be make the life of people like yourself inside the CIA very difficult.
It's a lot harder, and it isn't just in China. It's all over the world. I mean, I'm sure there's some countries that don't have it yet, but all of Europe has it.
Biometric border
biometrics.
Controls.
Certainly, Russia has it, and Ukraine has it, and you know, parts of the various, like Kazakhstan and all, have that kind of thing. And so we just, without going into any details, we train to that.
Yeah.
And honestly, their spies train to that too. So
the thing to do is you want to recruit some border control people.
Right. Now, that's not such a bad thing.
In your LinkedIn and your lengthy 39-year career at the CIA, you were in multiple places around the globe, but you were also, if I read correctly, in counterintelligence. You were the mole hunter inside the CIA. From what period of time?
And how many moles did you catch?
Yeah.
A million.
wow.
And they're all furry. No, I'm just kidding. No, so the bottom line is, yes, I was the deputy chief of the counterintelligence mission center, and then I was the chief. And this was between 2016 and 2020.
So did you, the Chinese moles we talked about, were they yours? Did you catch them?
Yeah, they were. And we had a couple of Russians as well that were caught. Like we got Hansen. Oh, that's a story in and of itself. Oh,
well, Hansen would have been years earlier. No, I mean.
No, Hansen. Hansen. No.
He 2001.
Was 2001. Yeah.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was a hilarious story. Do you want me to tell it or no?
Go for it.
So here's the deal. We had some information that, you know, there was a spy, another spy. And we looked at it at CIA and counterintelligence. And we're like, it has to be an FBI guy, given the information he's given up. It can't be CIA. FBI came to us and said, this one guy, I'm not going to go into his name or anything, but came to us and said, there's no way an FBI agent would ever spy for anybody. It has to be CIA. And you'll remember, you can look it up. They were focusing on a guy named Brian Kelly.
I wrote extensively about him back in the day.
Yes. Yeah. And so they were focused on Brian Kelly. And we kept telling him it is not Brian. And Brian was like a righteous guy, no drinking problems, didn't beat his wife. Everybody loved him. You know, the spies that come out of the agency are 9 times out of 10 when they're caught, they're like, you know, you're like, because they're such putzes that you kind of like, I could see them doing it, right? And Brian Kelly was not one of them. So what happened was, and it was actually something I was personally involved in overseas, is that we were able to get some additional information and brought it over to the FBI and said, now, do you know who it is? And FBI goes, shit, I know this guy. It's Hansen. It's this guy Hansen. Yeah. And he was so mad about it. And it was a lesson learned. And the guy I'm talking about, actually, we had a great relationship. But the culture of the FBI at the time, it wasn't just his, was an FBI agent would never spy. Mm-hmm. And now they know it does. They do. And anybody can.
Yeah. There's been others since Hansen.
Yes, there have been.
The Mob Brothers, as you said earlier. Yeah. Finally, I got to ask you. So John Ratcliffe is the current CIA director appointed by President Trump, who's kind of notorious as an errand boy for Trump, a political errand boy when he was director of national intelligence. Do you fear the politicization of intelligence priorities, a lessening, say, of attention on Russia? And so on. What's your take? Are you worried?
My take is that Ratcliffe doesn't have like the worst reputation. I mean, he doesn't. I mean, a lot of people
comparatively.
No, exactly. But the thing is
it's a very low bar we have in this administration.
The president himself tells people what to do. And if he tells Ratcliffe, which I'm sure he has, based on what I've been reading and seeing and, you know, talking about, that I want to de-emphasize Russia, he's going to have to do it. There's going to be a lot of people inside CIA who are going to be, why? We're currently in a war with them, basically. You know, NATO is theoretically still supporting them, supporting the Ukraine and things like that. We still need to have that kind of espionage.
Yeah. But he suspended, according to news reports, he suspended cyber collection or penetration on the Russians early in the administration.
Yes.
For a while.
Which is disturbing. And believe me and my friend group got on about that too. And we were like, that is just idiotic.
Any equivalent of that on the human side, the espionage side?
Not that I've heard of yet.
To break off contact with Russian spies, our Russian spies?
I have not heard of that yet.
And would you have heard of it, you think, through the TomTom network?
Well, yeah. I mean, I hang out with my friends. Some still work there, some don't, and things like that.
And they would
have
been very disturbed, and word would have leaked of that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I personally haven't heard that. I can ask around again to another, to a couple of people and find out, but and I'll get back to you. But basically, no, I haven't heard that yet.
You were responsible for overseeing, if I recall correctly, the intelligence assessment after the 2016 election about Russia and its role in interfering.
Yeah, we actually started that a little bit before the 2016 actual inauguration. We had gotten some very good, righteous information that showed that the Russians were trying to influence the election in favor of Trump. Yes. And I headed that paper and we took a hard look at it. And believe me, we had Democrats and Republican congressmen calling our director all the time saying, here's the outcome we want. Here's the outcome we want. Yeah. And our director simply said, you're going to get the outcome that's the right one. That's the one that is based on data. We're not going to do something just because one party wants something, one party wants another. And so, and I don't mean the president elect or the president candidates called. I'm talking about, below. It's like, oh, we really hope this out, that kind of thing. So the bottom line
is Trump a Russian agent?
So we never, good question. We never found anything. We looked at everything. We looked at that possibility that somebody around him might be, et cetera. Now, some of it, we can't do a whole lot on American citizens. So the FBI would have had to have done some looks. And as best as I can remember, they didn't find anything that indicated a recruitment by the Russians of not only Trump, but the people around him. And at the time, I remember being asked, I want to say it was by one of the directors, the same question. And I remember saying, you know, hey, we don't have any information on that. All we know is the Russians were trying to influence the election to get Trump in. Now, could it be because that's their guy who's an agent? Sure. Could it be that that's their guy because they already know he is politically aligned with them? You know,
can I ask, there have been reports over the years that there was a bit of disagreement between particularly people at the agency and the FBI over this, and that Comey and McCabe kept trying to get the Steele dossier put into that intelligence assessment.
They did.
They did try. Yeah. And what was their grounds for doing so? And what was your grounds at the CIA for resisting that?
So at the time, our FBI, you know, with the guys at the FBI, they were talking, they showed us the Steele dossier. And we said, okay, I get where this came from, but we don't have, do you have anything that can corroborate it? It was explosive, don't get me wrong. And if it had, if they had had one piece of corroboration, believe me, we looked for it too. In our own, you know, with our own assets and things like that, we didn't find anything at that time.
Did you question any of the sources that Steele cited?
Oh, that I can't remember.
He basically only had one real source.
Yeah.
The guy who was charged in the Durham investigation and acquitted, but, it's not like there was a network of sources.
FBI doesn't ever have a network of sources. They will get, and they are really good.
This was Steele, not the FBI.
Oh, yeah. Steele.
His.
No, but at the same time, I look back now at the Steele dossier and I'm wondering, did we miss something?
What do you think?
Maybe.
Why do you look back now?
Something in particular that gives you that view?
Because Trump wants a third term, anti-constitutional. Trump originally wanted to take away any kind of help for the Ukrainians, which favors also Putin. Trump is acting at a minimum like a dictator, and he's acting like Putin. And so that's why I'm reserving my thoughts on that now until I can figure out if there's any more information out there.
What do you think the reaction is among your former colleagues when they see Trump being essentially pushed around by Putin on Ukraine, falling? You know, he was going to solve the war on day one. He has adopted Putin's talking points, the Kremlin's talking points on Ukraine.
Yeah.
What do you think the people out in Langley in your old office, how do they react to that?
I think they're as upset as I am. They're all friends of mine, you know, and they're trying to do righteous work and everything. And it probably really, really bothers them.
So, Sue Miller, thanks much for coming on the Spy Talk podcast and talking with us about all these current and very sensitive issues. We appreciate it. Thank you.
And I appreciate what you guys do as journalists, because honestly, we need each other. So to keep up our democracy.
Indeed. Thank you. Well, that was fascinating. And I dare say that this is not the last we're going to hear about China, CIA operations in China. The Trump administration has made a big point. In fact, the Biden administration before us, so they're pivoting to China. We're not sure exactly what that means. We're talking about rushing aircraft carriers out there or special forces troops training.
Yeah, we're pivoting to China while we're still bogged down in Russia, Ukraine. No progress ending the war. Trump said he was going to end in 24 hours. And
Now he says he's running out of patience
with Putin,
whatever that means.
Well, we'll find out pretty soon. But, you know, what this could end up being, because you have Republican senators and led by Lindsey Graham, who are demanding, okay, the gig is up, Putin. We're going to impose very harsh sanctions on you. And we'll see the extent to which Trump goes along with that. But that could lead to, you know, a relationship that Trump was trying to restore getting further deteriorated. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, the continuing horrible conflict in Gaza. So,
and if you look at the headlines today, they're all about Trump being pushed around by Putin, and that raises a kind of a potential danger for me. I mean, I do hope I'm a hawk on Russia, and I do hope new sanctions are applied. We also see Germany has made a decision to supply long-range missiles, or to help Ukraine build long-range missiles to strike deeper into Russia. But I'm afraid that with Trump's famous ego, that he'll lash out in a more dangerous way.
Right. It's the herky-jerky nature of diplomacy and in international relations under this administration that may be its really, enduring feature.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that is a great topic for another episode. So
we'll be back with more.
We'll be back with more. Stay tuned.
Hang around with us for next week's Spy Talk podcast. And in the meantime, don't hesitate to visit our Spy Talk news site at spytalk.co over at Substack, where we offer intense analyses on current events in the national security sphere. By myself and Mike Isikoff and our other great contributing writers. Until then, see you around. I'm Jeff Stein.
I'm Michael Isikoff.
So long.
For more original reporting and insights like this, subscribe to spytalk.co on Substack and follow us on Twitter at @talk_spy. If you enjoyed our podcast, subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. MSW Media.
Care Talk with Laura Packard is a podcast covering healthcare in America from a progressive perspective. Our healthcare system is broken, and we all know insurance companies are out of control. If you don't have health insurance or don't understand the differences between insurance plans or have surprise medical bills, out-of-control prescription drug costs, or can't get the care you need, listen to Care Talk with Laura Packard weekly on Tuesdays. What's going to happen to your healthcare under the Trump administration? From prescription drug prices to health insurance costs, from healthcare for seniors and people with disabilities to reproductive care, from care for veterans to public health, including vaccinations. Healthcare experts answer your questions every week, and they go in-depth on Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, private insurance, and more. Go to healthcarevoices.org/caretalk or search for Care Talk with Laura Packard on your favorite podcast app to listen today.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.